This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm still trying to figure out my entire role in that, man. I'm getting a lot of billing, and my agent hasn't worked all that out with Brian. I think he's going to be here tomorrow. There are some tickets available for Saturday night, and you can always go to BrianKilmeade.com to get the VIP tickets. I did have a listener that reached out to me because I've been saying that you can get the VIP tickets as an add-on, and they were having a difficulty doing that, so I'm trying to get the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't believe it's almost here on Saturday night. I heard from another friend of mine, a St. Louis City cop friend, who I was unaware was a big Kilmeade fan, and he's going to be there. Then he asked, you know, because people love the team at Fox, right? He said, well, is Jesse going to be there? I'm like, no, this is Brian, not Jesse.
Just a Kilmeade
event. But I will say, and you've been at these events, Jesse and Brian have a good-natured relationship. They tease each other. You'll hear some teasing of Jesse, is my guess.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday night by Mr. Kilmeade, for sure. Hey, Josh Hammer has a show every Saturday that airs at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. He's a regular guest. He's a great guest on a lot of different topics. And he has a new book out today called Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. We've been talking about it for a while. Josh, congratulations. It is publication date, right?
Mark, it is publication date today, and there's no one I'd rather spend it with than you, my friend.
Well, awesome to have you on this day, because I know it's a big day for you with the book. Can we start, though, by, and I think this ties in, you wrote a column about Mahmoud Khalil and how his deportation would not be unlawful. Some of this ties in because, look, this is a guy who has called for the destruction of Western civilization. Your book is about how important Israel is in all this fight, but his deportation or his detention at this point really kind of plays into a lot of this, doesn't it?
It sure does. It certainly does. And Mahmoud Khalil, one, is deeply opposed to everything that this country stands for. But two, most important for just crass bread and butter legal purposes, Mark, he's not a citizen. And there are a lot of people out there. This is kind of the point of the column that I wrote for Newsweek, the Los Angeles Times. It was my syndicated column this past week. The argument that I made was that there are a lot of people out there who are trying to deliberately and on ideological grounds blur or outright eliminate the distinction between citizen and non-citizen. This is all part of the overarching globalist agenda. And a lot of people say, oh my God, how can you say that? I mean, some people say that's an anti-Semitic dog whistle. You know, good luck saying that to me, I suppose. But I mean, there actually is a globalism, let's destroy all borders, destroy all nation states agenda. It's a very real thing. It's kind of like the John Lennon song Imagine playing out on a geopolitical chessboard there. But in reality, Mark, our law is clear. There is a very big distinction between citizen and non-citizen. So to take just one example there, Justice Robert Jackson, one of the great justices on the Supreme Court in the 20th century, a champion of due process. He was the great dissenter in the Japanese internment case, Korematsu, from the FDR presidency, World War II. 9 years after that, though, in 1953, in a case called Shaughnessy, it was Justice Robert Jackson, this great champion of due process, who wrote in his opinion that due process does not give an alien a right to come to this country, and once the alien is here, it does not give him the right to stay here against the people's will. That's what it boils down to. If you are an alien, if you are not a citizen, whether you are on a student visa, a green card, or anything in between, Mark, if we the people ultimately decide that we don't want you here, we can kick you out. That's basically it. That's the law, pretty much, period, full stop, end of story.
And I kind of support that. And I don't know, do you think that the circumstances of the Brown University professor, who's also a doctor, I guess this is Dr. Rasha Aliwa, is the same circumstance? Because she had a valid work visa that was issued recently, but she went to the funeral of a Hamas leader, and that was what the administration is, I guess, deportation, or ICE, is citing her for here. I don't know which organization. I guess it's Homeland Security. Same rules apply to her.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Her, you think, or not?
Yeah, exact same rules, because again, she's not a citizen. She's here on a visa, but she's a legal alien. I mean, Mahmoud Khalil was also a legal alien. He was here on a green card, which is basically the highest, I suppose, that you can be as legal alien. You're a legal permanent resident at this point. But the key distinction for purposes of due process, and frankly on many other grounds too, I mean, the Bill of Rights is a good example here. I mean, the entirety of the Bill of Rights is absolutely secured for U.S. citizens. That's one of the purposes of being a citizen, but it does not necessarily apply the exact same way to non-citizens. The case on this is actually very murky. There are some amendments that do apply, but for instance, the Second Amendment is a good example. If you're a citizen, you can go into your gun store, and assuming that you are of legal age and you know you pass the background check, you can purchase a firearm. That's not true if you're an alien. Even if you are here legally, even if you're here on a legal visa, it's not nearly as easy to go in and acquire a firearm. So the law is just genuinely different in many respects for citizens versus non-citizens.
Yeah, that is an interesting comparison there. I never thought of that before. Josh Hammer is my guest. His new book, Israel and Civilization, is out today. All right, you make the case in the book, Josh, we've talked about this before, that it's imperative that Western Jews and Christians stand together shoulder to shoulder like never before. Why is that?
Well, Mark, I'm really delighted to be talking with you about this. So I have been talking about this for many years now. Look, I, like many others, was just so disgusted, obviously, by October 7th itself, but above all, by the global reaction to October 7th, where we had a moment there where the world basically looked at the Jewish state, the Holy Land, the birthplace of Western civilization on the one hand, and then this medieval Islamist death cult trying to take us back to the 7th century on the other hand. And you had a lot of people on university campuses and academia and just generally elite circles on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean who said, oh yeah, I'll side with the latter, not the former. And that was just a total five-alarm fire. So I took it upon myself to write this book, which basically calls for Jews and Christians alike to lock arms like never before and to rediscover our joint, mutual, shared biblical inheritance, an inheritance that would have been broadly recognized by for by, for instance, the American founders. The American founders were men who were intimately familiar with the Hebrew Bible, with the Hebrew scriptures, with the Old Testament there. I mean, look at the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, for instance. It's inscribed with Leviticus on the outside. Thou you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. You had Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, who wanted the national seal of the United States to be Moses parting the Red Sea. My personal favorite figure in American history, Abraham Lincoln, who famously described Americans just on the precipice of the Civil War as an almost chosen people, deliberately using the covenantal language of the Hebrew scriptures. Lincoln actually quoted the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, more often in his speeches than he did the New Testament. So I'm really just encouraging Jews and Christians to rediscover all of this. And I demonstrate in painstaking detail in some of the earlier chapters of this book just how much of the common law, of the constitutional order, frankly, just also day-to-day moral and ethical paradigms that we take for granted. I mean, something as simple, as prosaic as the golden rule. I mean, treat others as you'd like to be treated. Yeah. I mean, where does that come from? That comes from Leviticus chapter 19. I mean, treat your fellow, treat a stranger as your fellow. It's all right there if we would bother to look. So at a time like now, where it's not just the woke DEI left, but increasingly also, tragically, it's a small but nonetheless loud and perhaps, dare I say, even growing segment of the online right that is calling for us to separate, for Christians and Jews to no longer tag team together, for the U.S. and Israel to no longer have close relations. I think it was really time for someone to write this book and say, no, we are stronger together. We have the exact same enemies. Wokeism, Islamism, global neoliberalism are the three that I argue for in the book. And praise God, Mark, the book's been selling like wildfire. It was number three on Amazon yesterday. It was actually temporarily out of stock on Amazon this morning. I think that's fixed by now, but people seem to be buying it, and I really hope that the word gets out there.
I mean, and you wrote this book before, I'm guessing this was finalized before the election, or did you have to finalize it right after the election? Because my question would be, if we're staying, you make the case that we're standing at this civilizational inflection point, and I think you're right, but boy, the attack against that is certainly a lot different than it would have been if Kamala Harris was in the White House right now.
No doubt about that. And I finished drafting the manuscript in October. I probably made my absolute final tiny tweaks, I guess, in December. So it would have been after the election. But there's not really a whole lot of post-2024 election content in the book. So for instance, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, I was not able to account for that because the manuscript was just basically finished by then. So we are living in very different times right now. That is for sure. When it comes to U.S.-Israel relations, than we would have otherwise been in a, God help us, Kamala Harris presidency. And, you know, Mark, we've seen the collapse of this very fragile ceasefire in Gaza over the past 24 or 48 hours or so. Hamas, of course, is itself only to blame for that. They're the only party to blame here. They had every opportunity to prolong the ceasefire, and they basically said no. And Donald Trump has clearly indicate that he will stand with Israel and support them diplomatically, militarily, whatever they want. So the ball is really in Prime Minister Netanyahu's court right now. And I'm happy, Mark, that it looks like he finally is ready to actually try to finish the job this time. This war has been going on a long time, but Israel announced a war aim at the outset of the war of eradicating Hamas. And unless and until they do that, they probably will have lost the war, tragically. They got to do it.
Josh, it's stunning to me as a non-Jew, and I think a lot of people would put themselves in this category, how much anti-Semitism has been exposed, especially on college campuses. And I think we've, you know, been reminded of this in the past couple of weeks with this, you know, Mahmoud Khalil situation. You know, what happened at Columbia, what happened at Harvard, what happened at some of these other Ivy League universities. Luckily here in St. Louis at Wash U, they put the kibosh on it relatively quickly. But the Jew hatred that has been exposed on a regular basis, and by the way, I don't think it's really died down that much since that fateful date, is really kind of stunning to people like me looking at it from the outside.
It's tragic. It is nothing short of tragic. And Mark, another thing that I argue at great length in this book is to make the case that people should care about anti-Semitism regardless of whether or not you're Jewish, for a very simple reason. Well, two reasons, really, and they're related. One is that it's never actually about the Jews. It always starts with the Saturday people, but the Sunday people is always the ultimate target. So Karl Marx is a perfect example of this. Karl Marx has this infamously anti-Semitic essay from the early 1840s called On the Jewish Question. He himself was a self-hating Jew. He clearly harbored a unique disdain for Judaism, but that wasn't his actual goal. His goal was nothing less than the overthrowing of Western free market capitalism and Western Christendom, Western Christian civilization. So he viewed the Jews as just a convenient stepping stone towards a broader civilizational assault. And, you know, more generally speaking, Mark, you know, historically, I can't think of a single example, literally not a single one, of a nation state that has discriminated against the Jews, has oppressed the Jews, has generally treated them poorly, and then was better off for it. Yeah. There is a very clear trajectory here that when that basically how go the Jews, how go the canary in the coal mine, so goes the society. And there's a reason for that, which is that anti-Semitism is here, there, and everywhere symptomatic of a broader societal or cultural rot. So I care about this flare-up not merely for self-interested reasons as an American Jew, but also just as an American patriot, as someone who simply cares about the future of his country, as someone born on Lincoln's birthday who clerked for a federal judge. I'm a lawyer. I love this country. I love this Constitution. I love everything about it. And I see anti-Semitism, and it's like, oh, my God. I mean, what could come next year? I mean, this has never, ever, ever ended well, and it's time to nip this in the bud right now.
Josh, congratulations on the new book. It's out today. It's called Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. You mentioned the LA Times piece. You know, when I woke up on Saturday morning, I go to all these sources, even sometimes on the weekend, and I saw your column about Mahmoud Khalil, and I texted you right away. I was encouraged that Josh Hammer and like a guy like Scott Jennings is now on the editorial board of the LA Times. But do you have a regular gig with the LA Times where they're publishing stuff?
So they run my syndicated column. So good. I file a weekly syndicated column through Creator Syndicate. And that's actually a fairly recent thing. LA Times just picked up the column maybe about a month and a half ago or so. So, you know, the owner of the LA Times is trending right of center, it seems. So it's a very, very interesting time between that and Jeff Bezos at the Washington Post to be involved in these large newspapers. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, Scott Jennings and I mentioned it. We're very close and we've talked about this because Patrick had reached out to him in the aftermath of his appearances on CNN. Really, Jennings kind of started taking off after the first debate in June, and he does seem open to having more voices. So for me to open up the LA Times on my computer on Saturday morning and to see a piece by you, that was different, and that was a very good difference in what I'm used to seeing in that newspaper. So I have a little hope for the legacy media, if you will, Josh. But congratulations again on the book, and keep us posted on everything.
You bet, Mar. Thank you so much.
You hear his show, by the way, every Saturday, 1 p.m., the Josh Hammer Show, right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We're coming back with more. Hang in there.